Good morning. This is Taylor Dethridge from Alien Entertainment, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Good morning! Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for November 21st, 2017. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Tom Turkey.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. This is the week, Chip. This is my favorite week of the year. Some people like Christmas. Christmas is fine. I got no problem with Christmas. But this week, Geeksgiving was on Saturday. Then Sunday is the day of rest and getting ready and getting prepared. Monday and Tuesday, parent-teacher conferences. All right.
Who doesn't enjoy that?
A lot of people don't enjoy parent-teacher conferences, but I am not one of them. I enjoy parent-teacher conferences.
Of course you do. You teach technology,
yeah.
Steve.
Yeah, they don't want to talk to the computer teacher.
It's like, well, are they learning Word?
Yes. Yes, they're doing just fine. Okay, thank you. And then Wednesday is a day to prepare for Turkey Day on Thursday. That also Thanksgiving is on Thursday, right?
We'll discuss more about that later.
Yes. And then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Chicago TARDIS Doctor Who convention. I leave me a message. I'll get back to you after this week.
All right, so there you go. He's got a full week schedule. Many of us are going to be on our automobiles heading off to grandmother's house.
Yes.
Over the river and through the woods, I think.
I think that's where Thanksgiving is.
There you go. And I hope everybody has a safe travel.
Absolutely.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. I got a chance to sit down for a few minutes this week. Boy, has it been a busy 2 weeks for me. But I got a chance to see the first few hours of The Punisher on Netflix.
The Punisher, which is a Marvel comic.
Right.
It's based on the character. This is part of the Netflix series on Marvel. It started with Daredevil, mm-hmm. then Jessica Jones,
right.
then Daredevil Season 2, and then Luke Cage, and then the Iron Fist.
And then they all came together for the Defenders.
And this is...
And now we have the ancillary story, The Punisher.
Sure, this is sort of a standalone series. Mm-hmm. The Punisher showed up in one of the other series.
Right.
So anyway, tell us a little bit about the darkness that is The Punisher.
I've really been struggling with this. This is a very dark story. It's a well-told dark story, but boy, the violence that is The Punisher's character. The idea of a vigilante who is going after the bad guys and punishing them for what they have done in such violent ways is really challenging for me.
There's a couple things that we should mention about this. The rise of the Punisher as a character happened in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much as an anti-hero, because Batman is sort of an anti-hero. This was a bad guy mm-hmm. who basically became, you know, as much of a hero as you can be by being a bad guy. He took down other bad guys.
Like Batman, he is a vigilante. He's working outside of the law. But Batman at least works with the police and brings the bad guys at least to the Arkham Asylum where they can get treatment for their mental instability. Punisher just kills guys.
Well, and one of the things I really dislike about horror films is I don't like seeing suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And not that... This is a Marvel. There's a comic element, but this obviously we're talking about a mature themed mm-hmm. comic. We're seeing some suffering here.
Yeah, the gore, the blood, the suffering, the one scene that I don't even want to think about too much, where there's a hammer involved, and mm-hmm. there is far too much suffering for justice to be done here.
So this age was brought in the late 80s. It was by a writer named Alan Moore, and you may have listened to us many times when we mentioned to him. He didn't really work on this character, but the contemporary of him, who wrote The Dark Knight Rises, which based many of the Batman movies were based on, that was Frank Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And the rise of Punisher as a character really did come under Frank Miller's direction. And so Frank Miller's characters are psychopaths.
Yeah.
And that's a really tough place to be. And in fact, Alan Moore has said more than once that one of the regrets he has was not writing The Watchmen, Dark Knight Returns, what, you know, was a contemporary of that. It was that people took that idea and just said everything has to be grim and dark, and we've got to see just the psychopaths running around. And that's just not true. The medium is a medium that any type of story can be told. And it seems like we've gotten, this may be peak suffering, with Justice League also coming out this week, where, you know, let's just say that it's not meeting expectations, maybe money-wise, but certainly not thematically what they're looking for.
Right.
Maybe there's going to be a rise of a much more happy world.
Maybe.
I'm hoping.
Oh, the TV show Happy comes out next week. We'll talk about that next week. I have high expectations for that one. You got a chance finally to see American Gods on Stars. This is the Neil Gaiman story turned into a miniseries, right?
Yes, we ended up reading this book a number of months ago, and we discussed it. And this is a story of Shadow Moon, and he runs into Mr. Wednesday. Mr. Wednesday is the North mythology Odin, and that's where we get Wednesday from, by the way, from.
That's right.
And then Thursday.
Thursday. I told that to my kids this week, and they were like, really? It's Thursday? Yes, and I said, and Saturday is about Saturn. And they go, no. And I said, yes, the Monday is about the moon.
Now, Friday is Frida, which is, and but Tuesday, actually, there's two gods. They fight over who this one was named over. It doesn't really matter. Let's just say that Sunday and then Moonday, those are pretty
straightforward,
clean.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, so this is, we don't get too far in the book here.
This tells only the beginning of the story from the book.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. And the beautiful part is if you have a little bit of background in mythology, man, they just drop so many little hints throughout the whole thing. So they do, it's, when I say it's a faithful adaption, there's a lot more added to it. So we've got a story that really wasn't part of the book that we got part of it. We also got two of the episodes were the same story. They did a setup for it, but you get to see it from one point of view in one story, and then you get to see it from the other person's point of view in the next story,
really?
And then the following stories where they come back to where they run together.
Huh.
So this was only 8 episodes, and every one of them is high quality. Every one of them is very interesting. We talk about the old gods, and we talk about the new gods. It's got Crispin Glover in it,
nice.
So he gets to play the Mr. Modern guy. Yeah, and he... Obviously, you know that there is something, Chris McGovern has sort of reputation.
Yeah.
And that plays out real well with this character.
Nice.
I don't know how they're going to keep these characters together over many, many seasons.
But it has been renewed for a second season, so we know that there's more story coming.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, Neil Gaiman is writing a part two to The American Gods. So these stories could keep going on and on and on. But one of my favorite scenes that we have is, do you know the story of in Egypt when someone passes away and you have to go and you get judged?
Yeah, you were telling me about this.
So you go to the scale. So they bring you to the scale. And what they're going to do is they're going to weigh your life, your character, and they're going to weigh it against the feather.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you know whether you get to go to the next phase.
And they're judging your actions in life, right? They're
Absolutely.
Judging who you are, your character.
Oh, yeah. Huh. And so this plays a lot. Like I said, there's Egyptian mythology, there's African mythology, there's the North mythology, there's the Germanic mythology. It's just going to keep going. You keep running into Celtic mythology. It just keep going on.
And then rolled in with all the modern gods.
Correct, which is technology.
Right.
All right, so the real big issue on this is when a god dies, when people, according to the story, when people stop believing in them. And as things changed over in the old countries, they all started migrating over to the Americas. And so they're playing all sorts of havoc. The story, as originally written, was Neil Gaiman took a road trip. And he was going to all these places. You can tell because he doesn't really know where all the places are. But anyway, I knew where many of the places he stopped and was writing at. And anyway, this is just wonderful. I recommend this. This is not perfect.
Okay.
I'm sorry. There's something I wanted to mention this. Where the Punisher, maybe high teens, you would watch that. I mean, if you wanted to, young adult type thing.
I guess.
If you wanted to watch that.
Yeah.
Okay. Because of the sexual situations in this, there is nudity in this.
In American Gods.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we're aware of it. It's not quite as True Bloodish, but certainly it's you know, True Blood has always had like the Skinamax moment.
Yeah. But it's at least romantic.
This does not.
Okay.
But there's lots of nudity and there are sexual situations.
Okay. Good to know. Opening this week, there are quite a few movies. We're heading into awards season. We're heading into the good movie season where everybody is looking for something to do because it's too darn cold outside. Coco is finally being released in this country. This is the Day of the Dead movie.
All right, so this is being opened on Wednesday. So the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Right.
Because it's Thanksgiving week. Uh-huh. So we have Coco. This is Pixar. This could be their next big hit.
Yeah, all the reviews that I've read have said that this is really good entertainment from Pixar, something that we maybe have been missing.
And we just don't understand how this was not released in October.
That's so frustrating to me. It was released in Mexico in October for the Day of the Dead. That is the celebration in Mexico, but it was not released until this week here in this country because a lot of people go to the movies over Thanksgiving, not so many over Halloween.
So Pixar spent a lot of money, a lot of time putting this together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our next movie is a movie that's kind of a labor of love. It certainly, the budget was much more, let's just say...
meager. Let's go with meager.
Meager would be a good one.
This is called The Rack Pack, and it is a low budget, probably good story, though. Looking at the trailer, this seems like a story that would really be interesting to watch.
All right, so these are a bunch of military brats. And military brats are kids that follow dad and mom around. You know, dad station or mom station in Germany, dad or mom station in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are the children. And they have a really kind of interesting life. They're in an area for 4 or 5 years during a tour. The dad gets transferred to, you know, Alabama. Uh-huh. They're off to Alabama. So it's just what it is. But anyway, this is a story of the friendship, and they got to go on adventures. So a bunch of these kids got to go on adventures, and this is a storybook writer. He eventually wrote a movie. Based on those type of adventures. There's something very Spielbergish with it.
That's exactly what I was thinking watching the trailer. This is a bunch of kids, their childhood memories of their fun, imaginative play.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is, like I said, very modest as far as the funding for it. So it's going to have not that feature film perfect look.
Yeah.
It has more of a made-for-television type of look. And even on that, we're talking about one of the cable channels, the off-cable channels.
But those stories can still be fantastic stories. And this seems like it's a story that needed to be told.
If I ran across it, I would watch it.
The next one is called The Man Who Invented Christmas. This is a Charles Dickens biography film. This looks fantastic.
This is. This is very much similar to Finding Neverland, maybe the J.M. Barry story, and then we have the Beatrice Potter story that was a few years ago. There seems to always be some novelist out there that gets a movie written about.
Well, they're characters in and of themselves. We've had so many authors here on the show, and we love talking to these people. They have something interesting to say. Charles Dickens definitely was a character.
And what's so fascinating about the way they're putting together the story is that Dickens, by the way, who walked all around,
mm-hmm.
he went on these massive long walks, trying to figure out what his next project. It sounds like the story is his last project didn't do well. He needs to come out with something. Christmas is coming. He doesn't really have enough time to write this thing and get it published.
Mm-hmm.
But the inspiration is there. They put together the story, and he starts having a conversation with Scrooge.
Yeah, the character of Scrooge shows up in his house and is having a conversation putting together this story. I look forward to seeing this one.
Humbug.
Yeah. There's a movie called The Darkest Hour. This is a Winston Churchill movie. Talk about characters. My God, Winston Churchill was a real true character of his time.
So, you know, get up, have a few drinks.
Yeah.
Make sure you have a bottle of wine. Maybe have some champagne with dinner.
Right.
And then go out and watch this thing. Of course, you have to get a driver to get you there. But then you can really say that you've lived the Winston Churchill life. Churchill drank a lot.
Yes, he did.
But he also was the guy that had studied enough history to be prepared. He prepared himself to take on something that no one could have prepared for.
Right.
This madman in Europe who was basically taking over and destroying people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this is about Winston Churchill.
Played by Gary Oldman.
Oh, there you
go. Gary Oldman is a fantastic actor and a chameleon. He looks like Winston Churchill in this.
He's had a few drinks, Steve.
It's probably helps. There is the tragedy of JFK as told by William Shakespeare. This is, again, a very low budget find this one on the internet kind of movie.
We couldn't even find a trailer for it.
Right.
But it was based on a play. And Steve's aware of things that have been written like this. Some people have written Star Wars.
Star Wars, as written by William Shakespeare, is phenomenal. If you haven't picked that one up, go to your local library and pick that one up. It is a fun read. I look forward, because I love Shakespeare, I like the idea of the story of JFK because it has been told so many times. It's so much a part of our society. I look forward to this one.
And this JFK is typically thought of the modern day Camelot, the American Camelot.
Right.
So anyway, there you go. The good-looking people. So then we have Thanksgiving, Steve.
Right. No movies are released on Thanksgiving. All of those were released on Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Friday happens.
Then Friday, while you're out shopping, you can stop and watch a movie. There's one called Singularity. Oh, boy.
It's got John Cusack, Steve.
Yeah.
I think he's showing up at your house with a boombox.
I would love that. I love John Cusack. Okay, so we haven't talked about the Singularity, the Ray Kurzweil book yet on the show. We will get to that eventually. But those of you who know anything about the Singularity, you know this is the moment when computers get so good that they can be characters. They can be AI, artificial intelligence.
This comes across as sort of a, initially, you read about it, you're going, oh, this is Terminator.
It's very similar to Terminator.
But the way it kind of plays out, it's sort of like Transformers? Maybe a more serious version of it?
Maybe.
They've got those big robots.
Do you remember the last John Cusack World's Gonna End movie, 2010? You remember that? It was a bad movie.
No one watched that, Steve.
It was a bad movie. This does not look much better to me. I like the idea. We've been talking so much about AI. Between the Ray Kurzweil Singularity Is Near and the Bobiverse that we still haven't talked about, there's so many AI things that are coming right around the corner, Chip.
Well, they want to scare us. Steve, I need a real low-budget film. Do you got one for me?
Yes. I've got the straight-to-Svengoolie title Black Friday, which has nothing to do with Black Friday.
But it opens on Black Friday.
It opens on Black Friday.
And Steve, I think they put maybe $10,000 to $20,000 in this.
Maybe somebody took out a car loan for this one. This looks like the kind of movie that I like. A bunch of people running around with a camera and then adding special effects later. Those of you who have seen Birdemic. Birdemic is this caliber of film.
Steve, and there's aliens.
There's aliens in it.
And lasers.
Guns and ladies running around. I will probably see this movie, but I will probably be laughing as hard as I could laugh at it.
And it's kind of like a low-budget B-movie.
It's definitely, no doubt, this is a low-budget B or C movie. But I love those. I love MST3K
this looks
movies.
Like fun.
This
That's,
looks like a fun adventure.
We're teasing this movie, but if you ran across it and you wanted to be joyfully horrified, there you go.
That's their tagline, joyfully horrified. There is the Bill Nye : Science Guy, the biography of Bill Nye, that guy, that character from PBS.
All right, so this has been released in April. Mm-hmm. This was released in April, but it's going to be here in Chicago at the Gene Siskel Film Center.
Yeah, this weekend. It is the Chicago premiere of this movie. I enjoy Bill Nye.
Bill Nye was definitely your generation.
No doubt. This was our guy. As much as there were other guys who were doing science on TV, Bill Nye is the science guy for my generation. He may or may not be my favorite person nowadays because of his views on certain things, but I do look forward to seeing the story of how he became the science guy.
And his goal right now is to basically promote science literacy.
Right.
And there are some challenges at times.
There are some challenges in looking at what we can and can't and should and shouldn't do with science. So you've got a list of movies. There's so much to do. Go join somebody. Go to a movie. Enjoy the week. That's my plan. Book it. Brings us to our book it, our book of the week. All right.
We had homework.
Everybody did their homework, right? Everybody hand in those papers. Let's see. Okay. All right.
There's going to be spoilers ahead.
There's going to be this book from 1968.
Well, it's a short story.
It's a short story from 1968.
It's only an hour to read this thing.
Yes. This is The Thanksgiving Visitor. It's a short story by Truman Capote. He wrote it in 1967, published it in McCall's magazine, and then later as a book in 1968. This is his, he says, true story of his childhood in what, the 1930s,
Alabama,
1940s?
Steve, down in Alabama.
Down in Alabama. In the 1930s and 40s, that was the Great Depression, right?
Well, it was after the Depression.
Okay.
But still, you know, things were very poor. You know, the war years were going on, mm-hmm. and pretty much everything was being used for the war effort.
Mm-hmm.
So it still was a very rural time. And we learned a little bit more about his growing up. He, of course, had Suki. Suki was an adult who maybe had some mental challenges.
Okay.
Couldn't live on her own would be a good way of describing it. He had an uncle and he had two aunts that also lived with him. The two aunts ran a store. The uncle obviously worked too. And they all lived together under one roof. So Suki's job was to get up, get everybody their big breakfast together, basically take care of the day-to-day home stuff,
mm-hmm.
while and take care of Truman Capote as everyone else went out for their jobs.
Right.
So this is about the Thanksgiving.
Yeah, this is centers on Truman Capote's interactions with a kid in his class who was maybe not the nicest kid. There's some themes here about bullying and how we deal with people that are very true to the time and very applicable to today.
All right, so Truman Capote knew he was different at that time. He eventually wound up in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
He was a homosexual. And obviously, it may have shown up as with many young people, you know, early in life, and he was picked on because of that. And this guy used him basically as his punching bag, scared the mess out of him.
Yeah.
And so the family, Suki's solution to that was to invite this bully to Thanksgiving meal.
Which is a perfectly valid idea. If you are having a problem with a person, sitting down and having a meal with them certainly might be the right solution.
So we learn a little bit about this bully's family. The bully's family is very poor. As with many people, they're very prideful,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that they have needs, but they certainly are not going to show that. In fact, he talks a little bit about that at school, that there was free lunch available,
mm-hmm.
but no, this bully would not have this free lunch.
Right.
That he would basically go in the corner and he would not eat, because why would I want to be look like I have needs?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they found a resourceful way to ask to have the son join them for Thanksgiving. We also get sort of the description of Thanksgiving in this town with his family. You know, all the family from the area would come to this house.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just going to be, you know, the people living with him. It was going to be aunts and uncles and cousins. You talk a little bit about on the porch, everybody's using tobacco,
mm-hmm.
and this Suki likes to have a little snuff once in a while, because doggone it, why not?
Sure.
And they have their special dishes they bring in, so it describes a little bit about that flavor and how it's a big celebration. But we learn a little bit about what are our stories about during this. Somehow, Truman Capote is, I don't know, hiding or something. And he sees this bully steal something from one of the guests.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a big deal. This is going to be why this story has resonated for the time. So anyway, Truman Capote's character thinks a little bit about it. and plans out his action, how this the revelation's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And what he determined he was going to do is when everyone sat down for Thanksgiving meal, he would announce that this bully was a thief and he could prove it.
Mm-hmm. He was going to make a big show out of it.
And that's exactly what ended up happening. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, the boy excused himself, the bully excused himself and left. Obviously, he was embarrassed from that moment. But also, Truman Capote was dismissed from the meal also. Mm-hmm. And we learn a little bit later about that as the discussion comes out. So I guess the come to Jesus moment that they were going to have was, who was worse, the person who was the bully who stole something?
Right.
Or the person who planned something out, planned out a moment to purposely humiliate another human.
Right.
And there's the question you have. Capote was in a very modest home, but may have been wealthy at the time in the sense they had food. Mm-hmm. But he was in more of a sense of power right there. And the discussion they had was while, yes, what the bully did was wrong.
Stealing is immoral.
And while there would be, they would like to know that there was something stolen, mm-hmm. the way he went about presenting that moment to the guests was certainly not what a gentleman would ultimately want to do.
Right. It's one thing to report a wrong and to get the proper authorities, mom and dad or whomever, to know that this is something that's wrong that we need to repair. And it's a whole different thing to plan and make a show of, you know, the reveal of the murderer is here in the room. That was not okay with this family.
Sure. One of the things we should mention on this is that there was some phrases that were used.
Yes.
And they were very much of the time.
Right.
That shouldn't be censored out. But certainly, if you were writing the story today, we would find a better way of discussing those things.
Or we would leave those things off the table completely, because what was really the point of adding that to the conversation?
Well, it really was to paint a picture.
Sure.
Of that time. Mm-hmm. And it was that time. And we can't forget that. In fact, right. Capote was very good at discussing a particular place in an era. And it could have been anywhere. But I just really enjoyed this. This was long enough and short enough.
Yep.
If you haven't had an opportunity to listen to it, yeah, there are books on tape.
Yeah.
You go out there and see if you can find one. But if you want to read it, it's like I said, it's only an hour. It's a wonderfully insightful story. I'm glad we read this.
It's a good historic document. So thank you for bringing it to us. And hopefully everybody out there was reading along. I can't wait to hear what your Christmas assignment's going to be.
Exactly. Steve, I've given you an A+.
All right, good.
I went ahead and did that, and I'll just go ahead and note that. And when we do our parent-teacher conference.
When my mom comes in next week.
We'll make sure we discuss that you did a good job. Good job there, Steve.
Good job, you, Chip. And good job to everybody out there who is listening and reading along with us.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our scroll with it. I cannot tell you how excited I am for this weekend. It is Chicago TARDIS weekend. I got a chance to talk with Taylor Dethridge, who is such a wonderful person, gave me so much insight into all the different things. We got together at the Geeksgiving last Saturday, and she was so nice, and I look forward to what I'm going to get to do at the convention this weekend.
So if you haven't already, mm-hmm. you can go to our notes or go to our iTunes or Stitcher and just basically look for the extra scrolling.
Yes.
That conversation is right there, and she can tell you all about what's going on at the TARDIS convention here in the Chicago area.
The 18th annual. This convention has been going on for the entire 21st century.
But Steve, before Friday comes and the convention starts, it's going to be Wednesday, and we want to have a big party. So if you're in the Chicagoland area and you want to go out to small town.
Small town America for the Turkey Testicle Festival, the 35th annual Turkey Testicle Festival is happening on Wednesday in Huntley, Illinois.
That's going to be at Parkside Pub in Huntley.
Right.
You can go to our notes and you can click on, you can find out how to get there. I heard it's a ball. Everybody can have a good
everybody
time.
Everybody can have a ball. Or yes, two.
Or two. Or more.
Or more.
There's a lot of turkeys that gave their lives, so this could happen. And by the way, I mean, just have a joyous time.
I'm sure that everybody's going to have a great time at the Turkey Testicle Festival this year. They always do. They're
fried, Steve.
Annual tradition. Very American annual tradition. Let's go with that.
Just crunch on that.
Oh, boy. Speaking of turkeys, Turkey Day is coming on Thursday. That is the MST3K marathon of 6 different bad movies. You know, turkeys.
So in the old days, Mystery Science Theater used to be on television, and they would have this big marathon because, you know, cable channels,
right?
Nobody wanted to be there running those things.
Nobody wanted to do anything on Thanksgiving. They wanted to go home and have dinner with their families. So they just threw a couple episodes onto the broadcast.
So anyway, this is going back to that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can watch it in a number of different ways. You can watch it off YouTube.
Right.
You can watch it through a couple other places.
Shout too. Factory TV, which is the company that owns all the rights to all these episodes. You can go to Twitch this year and watch it through there. You can go through Pluto.tv, which is my preferred way to watch MST3K.
And these are bad B movies.
Yes.
That basically missed. These are the old ones.
Yes. These are the classics. Let's go with the classics.
Classic Coke.
As
new Coke.
As somebody on Facebook said, yes, I'm watching old movies of old robots watching old movies of old robots. Yes.
There you go. So anyway, they're going to make fun of them as they're watching them. How wonderful a tradition. Steve will have a lot of fun. Some of us are going to visit with our families.
Yeah, I'm going to sneak a phone under the table and be giggling while turkey is being passed.
Now, you're going to be with family. Many people will be with family during this time. There's something called the Great Thanksgiving Listen.
Yeah, this is a great idea that somebody came up with a couple of years back. And the idea is we have all of these stories. Your family sitting around the table has all these stories. It's time to get those stories down on either paper or recording the voice of that person so that we have those stories to pass down to the next generations.
Well, you get great stories. I mean, think of all the people who, your grandparents,
mm-hmm.
and all the things that they experienced. I mean, they went from a time where you were lucky if you had a train coming through your area.
Mm-hmm.
You have stories from the old country of how your grandfather got here,
right,
that are both horrifying and fascinating at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And it defines who you are and where you came from. It's important to basically ask a question. Tell me about when you were my age, and then just shut up and listen.
Shut up and listen is a big part of the Great Thanksgiving Listen. Just getting those people who had those experiences that we could identify certain parts of life from the 1930s, from Truman Capote, and other parts we don't understand quite as well.
Now, this is an app that you can use to record those. And grandma or grandpa or your aunt and uncle, it doesn't really matter, or your parents, just tell us a little bit about something, record it. They actually will go into the archives.
Oh, wow.
So there you go. You can be part of the National Archives, too.
Wow. The American story.
All right. Which brings us back to the real American.
The real American story. Black Friday is coming right after Thanksgiving.
Black Friday is a big shopping day here in the United States.
Huge tradition.
We here in Chicagoland, it looks like they bring over some of the Doctor Who's. So that they can experience it too, yes. Right, Steve?
Yes. Tony Lee, who is a Doctor Who comic writer, has notoriously been excited about the Doctor Who convention.
He's coming from England.
And he's even more excited about being at the West End Lombard because there's a Target store in the parking lot that he can walk over to the Target and be a part of Black Friday.
He can carry a big screen TV back to England.
Can you put it in my carry-on? He's a great character. I look forward to talking to him this week. Hopefully I'll get an interview and get to ask him about it. But Black Friday is an amazing American tradition.
And it's a wonderful affirmation in many ways. Now, many people don't need anything,
right,
but there are a lot of people who have an idea of what the American experience should be,
right?
And they feel like there's something's missing in their life. So whether it's that big screen TV or the game system or, Blender, whatever that thing is, mm-hmm. Many people plan all year around this,
yeah,
and they want to experience something. I really don't like the news where they show the doors buckling because people are pushing on them,
right,
or two people fighting over
the
some
negativity
item
of it.
But what I really do like is that there are people out there that, they want to experience what they feel everyone else is experiencing. Mm-hmm. And so there is a real nice part about this. You can go to, there's a number of sites that have all the ads put together for you. I put in our notes, blackfriday.com.
Right.
There's a few others. You can click on that. What's going on at Kohl's? What's at Home Depot? What's at Best Buy?
The one I'm excited about is Walmart. Walmart is selling the Google Home Mini, which just came out a few weeks ago, at $29.
So let's tell us what the Mini is.
Okay, the Google Home Mini is a little hockey puck that lives in your house that you can ask it questions.
You can talk to it.
You can talk to it. It talks back. It's very much like the Amazon Echo.
It's always listening, Steve.
Yes, it is always listening. That's not scary at all. You tell Google your problems. But at $29, it's well worth my money. I want one of these in my house. I want more microphones in my house.
Exactly.
And Walmart is doing a deal where if you sign up with their express payment, they'll give you $25 off of that $29. So
we have competing payment systems out there right now.
Yep.
So if you have a smartphone, if it's Apple, you have Apple Pay. If you have Samsung, it's Samsung Pay. There's Android Pay. And then Walmart is the other big player in this because Walmart is such a massive retailer
that they made their own.
So it's really, and they can work across multiple platforms.
Mm-hmm.
The point is they want you to use their system. They're willing to pay you $25 to try it out.
Yeah.
And ultimately you get this hockey puck that listens to you that will be your friend, Steve.
That will send the information straight to the
NSA.
You
can be part of the singularity even faster.
Oh, I want to be a part of the singularity. We have to read that book.
All right. So ultimately it costs you $4.
Yeah. I'm ready.
But there is also, I was looking at Fast Company. They had an article that they had printed up that basically talked up a little bit about Black Friday is dying.
Yeah, there's a shift in the way that we do our shopping. And going out to a store on a specific date is still a thing. Mm-hmm. But boy, you can get so many of these deals without going anywhere.
Well, a lot of that, in addition to that, is some stores are open on Thursday during Thanksgiving.
Right.
A lot of these things are being stretched out. There's Cyber Monday and there's Small Business Saturday. So these things are getting stretched out over time. And then there's Black Friday during July and whatever they want to do.
Amazon Day.
Very similar to maybe how the NFL, used to play on Sunday and you had the one game on Monday.
It was special.
And then it became, we have, we're getting ready to come up to the season in a couple of weeks. They'll have a game on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
They'll have them on Sunday. They'll have them on Sunday nights. They'll have them on Monday nights. They'll have them on Thursday nights.
Yep. It takes all away the specialness a little bit.
Exactly. And all of a sudden, that may be one of the reasons, among many, that they're having declining attendance and they're having declining challenges.
Right.
So anyway.
So that's happening to Black Friday. That's a lot of people look at that as something they don't want to be a part of, and they don't go.
But the Black Friday is the beginning of the Christmas season, Steve.
Yes.
And so if your market is like the Chicago market, Christmas music has been playing for at least 2 or 3 weeks.
Yes.
If it's like my household and my daughter's friends, they've been listening to Christmas music, maybe even before Halloween started.
My Christmas tree is up in the house already.
Is it really?
Yeah, you missed it on the way down.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Well, anyway.
Merry Christmas.
There you go. Well, it's so dark outside. It is a good time to get those lights out because, Oh my goodness.
It's more efficient.
But anyway, Christmas music that they usually play on the radio or mini playlists. And we should mention real quick, Pandora, Apple Music, which has Apple Radio. Google has theirs. There are many play services out there mm-hmm. that you can go to, TuneIn Radio and stuff. You can find mixes of music. And you can stream them any way you want to. You got that beautiful stereo in your house. Go ahead and use it. And Steve will have his Google Home.
Yeah.
That he'll be able to play his music through.
And all of my music is all silly Christmas songs, just so you know.
All well, Weird Al. There you go. Well, there's a whole batch of new Christmas recordings that have come out. There's Gwen Stefani has hers, which, okay.
Every star gets to have their Christmas album, don't they?
Okay.
Is that contractual?
No. But at some point, there's this feeling that they need to get it out there. Because yeah. there needs to be another version of it. But Psy is a person from Australia. She's a singer. She's the one with the big wig that's multicolored.
Yeah.
She wrote a whole new Christmas album of all new songs.
Hmm.
So these are none of the standards. But the one I'm going to mention to you right now, actually, I've listened to for a week to be able to review it for you, is you know this gentleman because he was one of the gentlemen who sang on Hamilton.
Aha. Uh-huh.
He was the Thomas Jefferson character.
Okay.
And this is Leslie Odom Jr. His Christmas album officially came out last year, so in 2016, but it was released at the end of November. They came out with a deluxe one this year.
Mm-hmm.
It was released in October. And it is called Simply Christmas by Leslie Odom Jr. This is all standards.
Okay.
This is one of the best Christmas albums or recordings that I have heard in a long, long time.
Excellent.
This is this not over the top. It is beautiful renditions. It's got great backing music for it. You can use it for a party. You can use it to be around the house. This is certainly not the pop that you're listening to on the radio where they have the 20 songs where they do it over and over and over.
Right.
Sometimes you want to kind of move away from that and listen to a wonderful recording. This, he's got such a beautiful voice. So I highly recommend this album. You could easily match it to Diana Krall from a few years ago, from Nancy Wilson's Christmas album a few years ago, Mel Torme or whatever. But my point is that it is a modern music that of standards that you just haven't heard a whole bunch of. So I highly recommend it. If you're going to go out there, pick this up as you're doing on your Black Friday.
On your way to the Doctor Who convention on Friday.
Exactly.
Got it. I need to listen to something. It's probably be a Doctor Who album. But okay. All right. Christmas it is. Simply Christmas by Leslie Odom Jr. You can find it on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com. I think, Chip, we have enough information to get to the convention, to get through the convention, to not get sick from convention crud, and to come back here next Tuesday. What do you think?
Only if we can come back, Steve.
I think we can come back. I think it is.
Can we come back next week?
The smile on my face has started already, and I think I'm just going to continue down this path for the next week. I think you're going to hear a lot of joy from Steve and see a lot of pictures. Keep an eye on our Instagram and Facebook and Twitter this week because I am going to be posting a lot of stuff. I definitely want to get everybody, all of our listeners who are going to be at the Doctor Who convention, please make sure you find us.
We're the tall people.
We're the tall, loud people. I will be noticeable, that's for sure. If you need more information, give us a call or text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can go to our news site, news.TooMuchScrolling.com. Find all the news that you need. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Tom Turkey.
We'll see you in the future.
Safe travels, everybody.